Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. And as your wise man, I'm here to bestow upon you the wisdom that you're listening to Punks Talk Wrestling.
Welcome to Punks Talk Wrestling! On this episode, we follow the fallout from Clash in Paris. Are we blah, 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 now? What happened?
My God, those are words.
Wow, hold on, let's try this again.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. And as your wise man, I'm here to bestow upon you the wisdom that you're listening to Punks Talk Wrestling.
Welcome to Punks Talk Wrestling! On this episode, we follow the fallout from Clash in Paris. We talk about our WWE fantasy draft, our predictions for Worlds Collide, and what some may say could be one of the greatest returns of all time. I am R.W. Hellbone, the PA Rock Prince, hailing quote-unquote from Philly, and I am one half of the crowd, which is one half of your Punks Talk Wrestling Inter-Universal Tag Team Podcast Champion House of the World. Now, then, and forever by my side, 3,500 miles away in London, England, he is my tag team podcast partner. He is the other half of the crown, which is the other half of your Punks Talk Wrestling Inter-Universal Tag Team Podcast Champion of the World! Mr. Did You Know, Sir King of Reels, the proper prick, C.J. Newman!
Did you know that John Cena has faced Randy Orton 77 times in his entire career?
Do now.
That's 47 wins, 25 losses, and 5 draws. So that's who he's faced.
The most. Say those stats again, because I was fumbling.
47 wins, 25 losses, and 5 draws against Randy Orton.
So 47 wins.
Yeah,
he's 27 losses
and 5 draws.
Five draws.
So he's faced Randy Orton the most in his career. But I'm going to give you, because it's been a while, I'm going to give you a minute and a half to tell me who are the other 4 wrestlers in the top 5 of his most frequently faced opponents, starting now.
John Cena?
Yeah.
Most frequently faced opponents?
Yeah.
One would be Brock Lesnar.
No.
No, not even in the top 5. Oh, wow.
This includes house shows, by the way. This would include house shows.
So. This includes in the entirety of his career, Edge?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's only one? So there's 3 more.
Wait, who did you just say?
I said Edge.
Oh, Edge, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So there's Edge, Randy Orton.
Yeah.
3 more for the top 5. Triple H?
No.
No. Batista?
No.
No, it can't be The Undertaker.
No.
Man. Kurt Angle?
No. 30 seconds left.
Big Show?
Yes.
Big Show? Oh, and JBL?
No.
No. Eddie Guerrero?
No.
Wow. Edge and Kurt Angle. Who?
10 seconds.
Ooh,
Shawn Michaels? No. Kurt Hawkins?
No.
Jinder Mahal?
No. All right, that's it. You're done. So Big Show was number two. Is 55,
okay.
55 matches against the Big Show, 33 wins, 20 losses, and 2 draws. He's faced Edge 52 times, 29 wins, 19 losses, and 4
Okay,
draws.
So I got the top three.
So all number number four was The Miz.
Really? Yeah. Oh, wow.
42 matches, 26 wins, 16 losses, and 0 draws. And number five was Kane.
Oh,
yeah. 41,
really?
41 matches, 28 wins, 11 losses, and 2 draws.
Damn.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at Miz being top five John Cena opponents.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. But I guess it makes sense. Their paths crossed quite a lot, to be honest.
They did, yeah. And they probably and they tussled quite a bit leading up to their WrestleMania match.
Yeah. So there you go. That is
cool.
That's the order right there.
There it is.
And with that, it's been a week off, I think. And we got a lot to get into. So how's about we talk about professional wrestling?
Yeah! Wrestling. Professional wrestling.
When's it not so good?
Where do we want to start with this? I guess we've got to start with Clash in Paris, right?
Yeah, I guess I think the whole idea today is we're not going to review anything, but we'll just talk because there's a lot to catch
up on.
Yeah,
I mean... We don't have to review the whole pay-per-view, but let's intro our podcast. let's just go.
How's about we talk about professional wrestling? That's going to be the worst intro ever, but
that.
Here it is.
You know what? Yeah, we're flying by the seat of our pants today.
I'm just going to go straight into it because the first thing on my mind when it comes to Clash in Paris was Logan Paul versus John Cena. I thought that was one of definitely Logan Paul's best match of his career. And I think
absolutely
probably one of John Cena's best matches of this retirement run as well.
Absolutely. Got me a good solid point on my draft as a draft.
Yeah,
pick
it did.
There.
Yeah. Speaking of SmackDown, really helped me this week because I'm trailing way behind you and Dan. It's up to date now.
It is up to date now. Oh, okay. I was gonna say you did replace my.
I've done AJ Styles for Karrion Kross, and
I really thought he was gonna get that IC title, but
yeah,
anyway,
me too.
Yeah, let's
me
okay.
Too.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's yeah, enough
so,
of that.
Coming out of Clash, yeah, John Cena Logan, the whole angle, getting Logan Paul past the SummerSlam match with everything he's been doing it absolutely right.
Yeah,
it's undeniable. He's undeniable. You can't. It was the longest match of the night too.
It was the longest match of the night. I don't know, man. I understand. Like I get all the hate he gets, but
get all the hate he gets.
The podcast
because he's because
I follow him now on I follow him on the band account of the band account on the
the podcast account.
And
yes,
like
this thing we're due.
Yeah, this thing, and I'm just like, now I see, like, he just had a baby. He just got married recently, too. I'm like, this is not the man who did terrible videos 15 years ago in a Japanese forest. Like, he has grown up.
Yeah, he did. Of course he did a bunch of shit when he was young.
And
like,
I don't know about you, but when you were 18 years old.
To appeal to a bunch of.
Were you not a dickhead when you were 18 years old?
Yeah, I was in my most dickish.
Yeah, I think we all
between 18 to 24 was my biggest dick era.
Yeah.
You know, not my most dickish era. Yes. I mean, however you want to take it, but yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's just,
Yeah.
Here I'm. It's getting to a point where there's eventually, and that's not the only. Yeah, there's been several things that he's done over time that have been questionable. And you know what? Yeah. And he's dealt, and you know what? He's eaten a lot of shit for it too.
Yeah.
Constantly, clearly, still. But you know what? At the end of the day, like, I don't. There is a certain level of his early career. He was a product of his environment,
yeah.
in certain way. And now you can see he's now a product of a new environment that is clearly making him a better person.
Oh, 100%.
A better actual person.
Yeah.
While still being able to, I mean, you know, as the character, get you to hate him, you know, get you to hate him for a lot of reasons. And other people can feel differently about it based on their reasons to feel differently about it. And that's okay. But when it comes to what he's doing in the ring and wrestling, he's fucking got it. He's just so much better than so many other people.
90%.
And you can complain about him being, a celebrity coming in and taking a spot from somebody else. He's not taking a spot from anybody else. Nobody else is in that spot.
Yeah, you're totally
right. That's the part that gets me the most. Well, we're gonna just slide into the celebrity thing, and we'll turn because we're just talking about wrestling at this point, and we've got so much stuff to get through and get off our chests. The whole part of the celebrity. The people that get so aggravated about, oh, this celebrity's coming in and taking someone else's spot. It's like, no, they're not. That spot wasn't for anyone else but a celebrity.
Yeah.
The spot is for them. There's a purpose for why they're there. And nobody else. On the right, you're not going to put any mid-card guy in that match with John Cena.
No.
Just to give him a shot at John Cena. Like, it irritates me seeing so many people just refuse to understand, just refuse to get it. Like, just be mad, you know, and just choose to be mad about something when there's nothing actually to be mad about.
Yeah,
exactly. he's not taking a spot.
And
away
I do think that match at Paris definitely. I feel like that would definitely silence a lot of haters. I think. It's a 26 minute match, like with one of the best to ever lace up his sneakers.
But you can say it about the Jelly Roll thing, because you know Jelly Roll was might have been a better example. But also, I love how they kind of just let it go when people were complaining and didn't say anything until like the week or two before about like, oh yeah, he's been training. Like, here's footage of him training. Like, just so you know, he's not just getting in the ring without anything.
Yeah, with any prior knowledge. Yeah.
And he did the best he could with the time he had with it. And I think the greatest part about him was eating, you know, taking the loss and being the first celebrity to lose kind of helped also ease that blow a little bit. But like, again, the whole point was you can't tell the story of Logan Paul pretending not to be an outsider to him, you know, like that whole story doesn't work without the celebrity coming in. And part of that, you know, part of that anger, I mean, they knew they're going to get some of it. They planned for it and they did everything right. Anyway, that's off my chest.
Yeah. I think, you know, he's had, you know, in this year alone, he's had 9 matches. And last year he had 5. And the year before that, he had 5. So he's definitely going up in his amount of matches he does a year. This year alone, he's actually had double the amount of matches that Roman Reigns has had. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and, Yeah, and again, and I understand why he shouldn't be, why he can't be doing.
He's a special attraction. He is a special attraction.
He is a special attraction. Yes, yeah. Exactly. You know, and he also has other obligations.
Yeah.
That he has to fulfill in order to maintain the status that actually gives him the merit of doing the thing in the WWE at that status. Like, you know, it all has to be together for it to work. I just, you know, he's doing great. I love it. I love it. And I love seeing people still try to hate on him just for the sake of it. Like,
yeah.
All right. Well, you're getting worked. You're getting so easily worked. So, you know, hey, I'm enjoying it. If you're not enjoying it, don't watch it.
And, yeah, pretty much.
Don't watch it.
I mean, we'll stick to the while we're on the subject of actually, yeah, we'll stick on the subject of John Cena because we're already on the kind of the subject of John Cena. But like, obviously, he had his the match on SmackDown with Sami Zayn was fucking excellent. That was great.
That was the most I've cared about Sami Zayn in a very long since the Bloodline.
Right.
Since him and the Bloodline.
I'm looking for, and you know what? I think this, because now obviously he's been given, you know, John Cena gave him the honors to do the Open Challenge, the US Open Challenge.
It was very nice of him, but I'll just say this. I felt so vindicated when the crowd just booed him the moment he came in, that the boo, I was like, yes, Chicago, you are my second city. Like, you know, I say this all the time about Chicago, because every time I'm in Chicago I feel the same way. Chicago is the most Philly city I've ever been to.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been there, you know? But the crowd definitely gives a similar vibe to Philly, and, for sure.
Yeah, and it's just, and thank you, Chicago, for reminding me, you know, that I never hated CM Punk to begin with. I just hated the things that CM Punk reminded me about myself.
Right.
You know, I got myself worked out. You know, Chicago is a great city, and once again, they proved it by booing the fuck out of Sami Zayn. I feel like I'm at the same point with Sami Zayn as you are with Fraxium. You know, it's I'm just not
working for you.
I just not for me. For me, everybody else can love him and go ahead and cheer him. And hey, I feel, you know, I'm happy. I'm happy for him as a person that he's. Yeah. That he's doing well.
I'm certainly not enjoying him as much as I was, but I will say, like, I do have hope for this Open Challenge thing. Like, he could end up having some really great matches on SmackDown with some guys from NXT.
He could.
Triple H. He could have Triple A guys challenge him, because and TNA guys. There's a lot of open water here.
Yeah, and I do feel like, and I think this will, and maybe this will help me bring me back to him, because I think the biggest problem I had with him is that I've never believed he's a world champion.
Right.
Like, and I know that's a common theme. I'm not the only person who thinks that. And there are people like Akira Tozawa, fucking great guy, super talented, you know, entertaining. Love, you know, I love Akira Tozawa. He's one of my guys. I love seeing him every time he does stuff. He's great, and I puts a smile on my face. But in no world, in no realm does anyone think Akira Tozawa is ever going to be, you know, WWE undisputed heavyweight champion.
Not even Akira Tozawa, unfortunately.
No, of course not. And that's okay. Like, yeah. That is okay. And that's just how I feel about Sami Zayn. It's just, there has never been anything about him that's ever made me truly believe he could be the world champion.
Right.
That's just all there is. And so seeing him in the world champion, seeing him anywhere near, you know, in that realm, I'm like, dude, you're not gonna, it's not gonna happen. So like, I don't know. It just, I could never believe it. It just felt, it was one of those forced feelings. I don't know. I never bought it. And I just don't buy it. But maybe this will turn things around. And this is not a knock on him as a person. It's not a knock on anything. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things that's, it's just not resonating with me for reasons.
Yeah.
And I wish it did. That's the whole thing. It's not like I'm mad and don't want to see him succeed. It's just like, I wish I enjoyed him the way I used to enjoy him.
Yeah.
And I don't know what this could do
wonders for it. I mean, honestly, when John Cena brought in the Open Challenge in his career, like, to be honest, he was in a bit of a dry spot himself at the time, and I feel like that did a lot of his career, because you would actually look forward to every week seeing who John Cena would face. And he had some great matches with Sammy and Kevin Owens,
you know what,
and Cesaro.
Oh my God. Let's just hit the brakes right now. Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
US title.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be kind of insane if Kevin Owens comes back for an open challenge and just, you know, and just beats Sami Zayn.
It would be great.
The
newest I know on that with his injury is that he's had surgery now. He was trying to not have surgery, but he's had to have surgery.
It
looks like now it's kind of a waiting game. You have to wait now to see if the surgery worked, and that can take up to a year. But you could have a great US title run for Sami Zayn, and then for Kevin Owens to come back, maybe in Montreal, and defeat Sami for the US title would be one hell of a moment. So I think let's go with that.
Yeah, because that was also, that's all Kevin Owens, that was his, he came in with the open challenge for John Cena.
He did.
Too.
Yeah.
As the NXT champion.
Yeah.
And that was some great shit.
That was good shit, yeah. I mean, there's so much you can do with this, with NXT, TNA, AAA. There's a lot of guys that you could get now, even more than when John Cena was around, because it was just WWE NXT.
Oh, yeah.
There's certainly got other people in other promotions that could come in now and answer this challenge.
Yeah. There certainly could be some incredible matchups.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh yeah.
What's the guy? The dude from AAA. El Vikingo. Yes, yeah, El Vikingo. Yeah. Like him versus Sami Zayn. That would be great.
Great match.
Sami is good in this. I think he's kind of, this is better suited for him as sort of like a guardsman, sort of the position Dolph Ziggler was in for a while, there, where he was like, this is the guy that you've got to, you know, it's your first mini boss.
It's the perfect time for Sami Zayn to be the really good professional wrestler. Do you know what I mean? Like he's.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be anything else. Yeah.
He could just be a good wrestler, and like that's, you're guaranteed to get a great match out of Sami Zayn every week, and I think that's a good place to be.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, whoever's got Sami Zayn in our draft is going to win a lot of fucking points. That's Dan. Yeah.
Dan's going to I'm actually in the lead right now.
You are by one point. Yeah, 22 to 21, and I'm trailing way behind.
Oh,
somewhere.
Yeah. Because I did not. Oh, it's thanks to Jordan Grace and Obafemi. Obafemi and Ricky Saints. Both got a point each
in the main event. That's right.
Yeah. Nice.
If no one knows what we're talking about, we have a little fantasy draft that I've Frankenstein together here. It'd be so good to roll this out to the masses. I've always thought. Like,
I think we should.
I don't know why this isn't a thing in the world. Actually, to be honest with you, it'd be so much fun to have this have a little pool between friends. You know,
You may not remember. I don't know. You may not remember this, but this is a while ago. Because I'm talking about like MySpace era internet. You know, relatively young MySpace era internet.
Sure, okay.
What are we talking? Like
2006 or 5 or 6?
2000. Yeah, so 20. Yeah, but yeah, we're talking about a good 20 years ago.
Yeah,
this is when, like, you know, All Your Base Are Belong to Us. I am dating myself so much. Man, I'm just reminiscing about like early memes, like We Love the Moon, and mushroom, you know,
fucking hell.
Mangoes. Oh god. Anyway, Strong Bad. Woo, memory. Anyway, what we're getting at? There was an early, like a WWE fantasy draft, I'm pretty sure it was run by the WWE themselves online.
Oh, that doesn't ring a bell, kinda, you know? Yeah.
Where you could, yeah, you could, and it was, you had like a point system. It was a point buy. Different superstars. Now, in our version, we've drafted from a pool. You know,
just an open pool, you know, and it's first come, and first serve.
And we can't, yeah. Whereas in this one, anyone could draft the same guy because there's thousands and thousands of people, you know, doing this.
Yeah.
And it's just based on you have a certain number of points and people have, you know, they have their ranks. But it was the same thing. Like you'd win, you know, you'd get points for wins, but they broke it down even further. It was like, did they hit a finishing move? Did they use, you know, it was very, unnecessarily complex.
Right, yeah.
It's probably why it didn't actually survive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
ours
is
just easy.
Ours is just based on
wins.
Good old wins and losses, you know.
Good old wins and losses, and champions get bonuses.
Yeah, exactly. Champions get 2 points and a normal win gets one. But I think, you know, because in the UK, and I know in America it exists as well, because people do fantasy drafts. You have a pool of like 5 or 6 guys and they'll do an NFL one or you know, in the UK, we do a Premier League football one. And it's like, yeah, and I don't know why that doesn't exist more commonly. Like, I don't understand how there is not. There's so many. If I just put in, like, football fantasy draft right now, football fantasy in, like, I've got the Premier League have their own official one. Then you've got Fantasy Football Hub. You've got ESPN have their own. Mm. Fantasy Football Scout. FantasyLeague.com. There's so many. Why do none exist for professional wrestling? I don't understand.
I could literally build this. I honestly know how to do this. I could now I kind of want to. Now I wonder with the help of ChatGPT coding, I bet you I could make it pretty rapidly. Yeah, I like this idea. I'm gonna on one of my days off this month, I'm gonna just poke around and just for the fun of it and see. Anyway, the point being, I'm gonna run down my list of people that I've got just real quick. I've got Jacob Fatu, Obafemi, CM Punk, Finn Balor, Rusev, AJ Styles, Ray Phoenix, Ricky Saints, Trick Williams, John Cena, Rhea Ripley, Sol Ruka, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, and Jordan Grace in my list. Now, but I originally had, I just had to sub out, I had Karrion Kross originally.
Yeah.
Obviously, no longer with the company.
Yeah, and our rules are if anyone gets released, you're allowed to replace them immediately. Yeah.
So I swapped him for AJ Styles, and I also had to swap out Naomi for Bayley because I picked her, which would have been great. You have a stacked roster too.
That's the thing. It's
surprising that the.
Yeah. Like, so the good thing is I'm quite lucky. So I got Jey Uso, Bron Breakker, Aleister Black, LA Knight, Damian Priest, Penta, Jimmy Uso, Andrade, Javon Evans, JD Madonna, Jay Cargill, Bianca Belair, Tiffany Stratton, Julia, and Roxanne Perez. Really cool. Next week is Jay Cargill versus Tiffany Stratton. So I'm guaranteed 2 points no matter what happens in that match because it's a title match. So that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's true. See, yeah, you have you've got Aleister Black and Damian Priest.
I'm a winner regardless. And SmackDown, I'm a winner. I'm taking all the points on
feeling,
SmackDown.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that they're going to be... I really want... Let's talk about that for a moment. First of all, amazing match. Amazing story. Like, the way they got these two together and the way Aleister Black is positioning himself, his character. Because he's a... You know, we've got... We got a high percentage of spooky characters on SmackDown right now.
Yeah,
you
it's
know
true,
when,
true,
when
yeah.
you consider Damian Priest is kind of spooky adjacent. Just you know he's got you know
he's just kind of alternative.
He's
met, you know?
He,
you know,
he's
the
kind
alternative
of metal
guy,
but he's dark. You know, bisexual Undertaker was the funniest the funniest shit ever. I'm glad he also found it amusing. But I want to see a best of seven with these two.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I think there's no reason not to because neither one of them are doing anything.
I could definitely see them facing each other at WrestlePalooza in like an Extreme Rules type match because obviously WrestlePalooza used to be an ECW event, so it could be a nice nod of the head towards that. And that's kind of the perfect match to do it with because they're really going at it with each other lately. So
I think they could do the exact same thing they did with Sheamus and Cesaro with Aleister Black and Damian Priest.
Yeah.
Because come on, man, it's right in his fucking name. Damian Priest and Aleister Black has a black mass. Like you've got this whole like evil altar, evil like preachery shit going on.
Yeah.
Get these guys after they beat the shit out of each other for the next 2-3 months, they become tag teams again because they, you know, they get forced into a tag team for reasons. And then the rivals become friends, become one of the greatest tag teams ever. I can see it happening, and I think it's exactly what both of them need.
Yeah.
Because the thing I was the most worried about with Aleister Black returning was him just getting lost in the mid-card somewhere and everyone getting pissed that he's not just the world champion right away. Like,
yeah.
Put him, blah, blah, blah. Why are you wasting? It's like...
I think, you know what? When people complain about that stuff like that, you need... As long as that person's involved in a good storyline, people are generally happy with it. And I think this is a good storyline for him to be in. So
it is an excellent storyline to keep both of them busy for a long time.
Yeah.
Because everyone will enjoy it. It was like when Bronson Reed first came out and he just kept, and every time him and Braun Strowman, like they would just run into each other and they just start fighting and they would just destroy each other.
Yeah.
You know, that was great. They just did that for weeks and everyone enjoyed it and it never got old. Like these are two guys that can keep doing this and their reasoning is purely, it's not a face versus heel, has nothing to do with any good guy, bad guy. It has to do with perceived disrespect and just this sense of you don't actually know who I am. You know, it's just this basic, I hate to say like alpha dogging thing, but it's not really that. It's just you're in my space.
Yeah.
And you're in my way.
Yeah.
You're also in my way. And so until we're going to beat the shit out of each other until one of us finally secedes and it's not going to happen. They're going to hug it out at the end. They're going to become a great fucking tag team.
Become a tag team. Yeah.
Dude, I think that's what they need. Give them, because that way you don't have to worry about either of them floundering in the singles division. Damian and Priest was a world champion, and for him to be a singles superstar and not in a title picture kind of makes him worse. So get him out of the title picture, put him in the tag team. Same with Aleister Black. The main event title picture is already booked up for the next year and a half.
Yeah.
2 years. They know what they're doing till WrestleMania 43.
They've got
an idea.
They got a general
and
idea.
And it doesn't include Aleister Black yet. No. You know? It doesn't. And that's okay. That's okay. That's why you put them in a tag team.
And you could definitely, like with LA Knight, like you can slot them in like in a fatal four-way match for the world title to have him like on the skirt of the title picture. But
absolutely, yeah. you can stick them in. You can stick them in other things that also you have to take into account. The Street Profits are breaking up.
Yeah,
you know,
thank fuck for that.
Within the next
year. We were literally talking about that last week. And then when I watched Crash in Paris, I was like, yes, they're teasing it. It's actually going
to
fucking happen.
Of course they're teasing. Yeah, we can safely assume that the Street Profits are going to split one way or they're going to split at some point.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to see a Shawn Michaels with Marty Jannetty situation there, unfortunately.
I hate to, you know, I don't want to see that, but
to say it,
but it could, well, it here that I let's reframe it. My biggest fear is that we're going to see a Michaels Jannetty situation. And I hope that's not the case. That, you know, other people have done okay. I mean, hell, the Dudley Boys split up and did pretty decent as single stars. I think it could,
I don't know because Bubba Ray, I think, did. In TNA they did. WWE they really, really didn't. I think he was
Reverend.
Given that
Are you telling me Reverend Devon wasn't good?
Oh, Reverend Devon was a great character, but
Reverend Devon is the reason that Deacon Batista. Later, the Animal Batista exists.
You are so right, but that's such a that is now a trivia question. That is now a did you know?
That it could be. That's a future did you know?
Yeah, well, now we know because you already said it.
But now we already know. But you know what? Some people who might not hear this episode might not know when we bring that up later.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, I met Batista when he was Deacon Batista. Yes, went to a WWE live event up in Rhode Island. Many years ago. Obviously, many years ago because it was Deacon Batista, and we were heading back to our hotel room, and out walks Batista on his way to the gym.
Oh shit!
After the show,
that's crazy.
And this was before I didn't even have a cell phone camera. Like this is the time period. Like I didn't have a camera to take a picture with him, you know.
So you've met two members of Evolution then.
I have, yes. I've met two members. I've met three members of Evolution because I met Ric Flair at a comic convention.
Oh shit! Wait, you got Triple H? Yes, man. You need to complete this.
I've got one. Hopefully when Triple H hears by the Ace of Spades cover that I'm recording, that might be a way in.
Technically, he's already met both of us because he's always like obviously listening to the podcast. That's how he gets half the idea.
True. He has a parasocial relationship of sorts.
Yeah. And that's why you'll never physically meet him because that would give it away too much. And then you'd face,
you know, never
meet him doing that.
Triple H probably more than anybody knows you never meet your heroes.
Right.
That shoots me in the foot a little bit because how are we gonna perform at WrestleMania?
Oh yeah.
You know what? We can break our own rules.
Yeah, we can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean it's coming. Yeah, he's the last one left. I mean that's he would be the what would that be? That would be the hat trick is three.
I was gonna say the trifecta. They're always based on threes.
It would be the quadfecta.
Is that a word?
It is now.
Yeah.
I mean, if trifecta is a word, then quadfecta can be a word too.
Yeah. Fuck it. It is. Yeah. But everyone knows what we mean. The quadfecta.
The quadfecta. hashtag quadfecta. Man, you know what we haven't done in a really long time?
What's that?
I haven't taken a look at our hashtags.
Oh,
we
fuck
have not
me.
Been up on hashtags.
That's
dude,
been a,
we've got
that's
we've
been
got
a very
so
long
much.
Time.
We've got so much work to get into. Anyway, well, who else did you have on? Oh, yeah. So our fantasy draft.
Yeah.
That's going to be a thing. I'm really, really interested in. I, I'm I'm really intrigued to find out how difficult it would be to put something like this together. I don't think it would be, I really don't think it'd be hard at all.
Fuck it, let's look
at it.
Let's
talk about this in the future.
We can talk about this in the future. We can work on this shit.
Moving on from that,
let's talk about the biggest thing this week. I mean, we'll go back to Paris, but obviously the CM Punk Seth Rollins situation, which took a fucking tasty little turn right at the end of Clash in Paris, because now it looks like, well, I presume that Becky Lynch is now part of the Vision, which would be really cool.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. But she's been on camera like saying, you're not part of the Vision.
Okay. What I would love to see on a complete side note, what I'd love to see is Paul Heyman accompanying Becky Lynch to her matches as well.
Oh God, that would be, yeah.
Like,
that would be so
we haven't
great.
Really seen that out of Paul Heyman in his entire run. He's never really accompanied a woman to the ring. So that'd be really, really cool.
No, not really. And I love the position they're in. Some people might say, our special counsel, Danny the Brain Bauman, is on the train of worrying about Becky as the IC title holder in this scenario. But I think it's okay that she is the IC champion. We're going to see AJ Lee versus Becky Lynch. Oh yeah. Spoiler. AJ Lee's back. Did we not all know this?
You just made me think, but with Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch was the world and IC title. It's kind of like when, Austin and Triple H were the two-man power trip, and Triple H was the IC champion, and Austin was the world champion.
I think it's totally fine for Becky Lynch to not be the world champion in this scenario.
Yeah,
mainly to just put the eyes on the IC title a little more. This also brings there's another topic we'll get into when we talk about the women's US champion. It's got some problems, but everybody knows it, and I think they know it, and I think it's all part of the work.
Yeah.
Not that they were purposefully not caring about the women's US title.
We'll get to that. But with Becky,
we'll get to that. Yeah.
But with this, I think it's great.
We'll
obviously,
that,
yeah. AJ Lee's come back. That was a quick turnaround. Like, I think it was just Raw after Paris. Everyone was like, "Oh shit! I this can only go one direction." And by Friday, it did go that fucking direction.
Yeah.
So it was like
it was
by Friday. Friday last week, AJ Lee would never have been a fucking thought in our brains, and then a week later, here she is. It's crazy.
Nope. The moment Becky Lynch, the moment Clash in Paris ended with Becky Lynch being the one that did it, it was cemented. Like we all knew, it's like you can't do this. It was just enough that it was like they wouldn't dare do this and not follow through.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they know how much, you know, especially when you look at the dates and the locations. Like, I wasn't paying attention. Obviously, CM Punk wasn't even paying attention on Raw when he's like, "Hey, where's SmackDown this week? Oh, it's in Chicago? Good." Like,
yeah.
You know, of, oh, right. They did it so well by so blatantly telegraphing it.
Yeah.
In this way, without allowing any of the leaks. Like, I don't know what the internet was saying during those weeks. I mean, they couldn't say anything because it was so blatantly obvious that's what they were doing. That's not like it was going to be some hidden surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Cena in the opening segment of SmackDown was just like, he basically was like a inflatable Bailey buddy with his arms like, "Whoa, and we're in for a night tonight." Sure,
Corey, literally, as the show started, Corey Graves said, "I really think this is going to be a SmackDown we're going to remember for years to come." And they went all in. Yeah.
They just set it up. They were lining up the shot. Everyone knew, and everyone was so riled up. Like, it was just like to the point where everybody was in a fucking frenzy. And when the music hit, like, dude, that's the biggest pop I've ever heard. Like, I don't know if it was just I don't know if it was pumped up a little bit, like, but
it was a great pop. It's probably not the biggest pop I've ever heard, but it was up there with.
If not as big, it was maybe a little bit bigger than CM Punk's pop.
I don't know about that.
I think she got a bigger pop. It might not have come across, audio transference, can sometimes be wonky. Anyway, point being, huge pop.
Great pop, yeah.
one of the biggest return pops ever. I think to a point where it deserves it. It deserves a. We should have a top 12 returns of all time episode, because that's something we haven't done yet, and I think now that I just thought of it, I think we should do it.
We should.
And I think this return will make it into that top 12. That's how good I think this return was. That pop.
Anyway. But yeah, AJ's
back. As you can see, I'm fired up.
I definitely think that this whole storyline is definitely. You know what? And the vision's really, really grown on me. It was only a few weeks ago that I was like, no, not really feeling the vision. I didn't really know how to feel about it and how it was going, and where it was going. But now I feel like now I'm on the train. Now I can see the start of a little bit of. It's always good. It's always good when you've got a faction that's kind of like. Leading the way on a certain brand, like the Judgment Day, like the Bloodline did, like Evolution did, like it's yep. good. You can revolve a lot around a faction, and so I'm looking forward to seeing where that goes. Guess now we can talk about the US title. I don't know where that's going, and I think for me I would have kept that title on. Chelsea Green much longer than what they did. I think she would have actually had a really good run with that championship.
I don't know what they're doing with Julia.
Her manager, which I keep forgetting the fucking name of. What's her name?
Right, exactly.
I'll find it in 2 seconds. Kiana James. It's kind of dead in the water for me. It's not working.
It's not doing anything for me. I don't know if it's appealing to people. I don't know who it's appealing to. It just feels bland. And I don't know what it is about her. Like she, everybody seemed to really, really hype her up a lot. And she got a great reactions for her limited time in NXT.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, as of now, if I had to rate it as of now, I would say she should have stayed in NXT longer.
I definitely would have kept her there, yeah. And I would say the same for Stephanie Vaquer as well. I would just say the same for her. I don't know if that's worked either.
I mean, it would have made things. I don't have a problem with JC Jane in NXT, and I love that she became TNA Women's Knockout Champion, for a couple weeks. I love that they put her in that position, and that was great. But that could have been Julia's position.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think if you had put Julia in that position and had her be NXT Women's and TNA Knockouts champion, I think that would have pushed NXT and TNA up a little even more.
Yeah.
I'm just not buying it. Like, it doesn't, she doesn't seem believable other than just people hyping her up for whatever. But like,
I think the whole, I mean, there's some great stars on SmackDown on the female roster. I mean, like Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, and Jay Cargill, and you know, but it's, I just feel like it's not fleshed. I feel like the Raw female roster is way more fleshed out than the SmackDown.
Yeah. Roster. Yeah. I don't know what's going on there. Like, yeah. Anyway, it's just, and it's unfortunate because it's, but I also think this is, if we were now ranking all of the titles in WWE, the Women's U.S. Championship is like the bottom of all of them. Like it is the one that's given the least importance right now, or it's the least cared about.
Yeah,
that, you know. And you know, maybe this is also, I said this before, I think this is a result of, they should not have introduced both of those titles together so soon.
Yeah, I would have probably brought in the Intercontinental Championship and then have it on both rosters. Honestly,
they should have had the women's IC title first, or if they wanted people to make sure to care about the U.S. title. Again, the U.S. title is not, it wasn't a WWE title. The U.S. championship, it was a WCW title.
Right.
So it's always going to be considered below. It'll always be considered below the IC title, of course, because the United States is smaller than intercontinental, all the continents.
Right.
So it's just a, it can't be on the same, it can't be on the same level. It is a narrower field of,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm running in circles with that. It just, or maybe it is. Maybe it is in the good position. Maybe it's in the position that it's meant to be in. I don't know. I guess the problem is the disparity between how the men's U.S. title is treated as opposed to how the women's U.S. title is treated in relation to the other titles. Yeah. That's the disparity.
It's just falling on flat ears to me. I'm sure it will pick up steam. Not everything can just get going immediately like that. So,
yeah,
I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it took the women's tag titles a while.
Yeah.
To even get where they're at now, and they still need help.
And they're still not in the best place. But yeah, I mean, if that's a problem when there's so many damn championships already on a show, it's hard to make all of them important at the same time. It really, really is.
Yep.
But yeah. So, and I guess the other thing to talk about really would be Roman Reigns. So he's obviously been brutally attacked, which I thought was done really, really well by Breaker and Bronson. So that's kind of written him out of TV.
Which I'm totally good with.
Cody Rhodes are filming the Street Fighter film, it sounds like.
Yes. What does that mean for Cody Rhodes?
But this is the thing. For Roman Reigns, we've all gotten quite used to Roman Reigns being off on television at this point, and the crowd are like, we get it, we accept it. I don't feel like the crowd are going to accept this kind of shit from Cody, though. I feel like once he comes back, they're going to turn on him.
I don't think so.
I really do think he's going to get turned on proper. Because I feel like he was always the guy that was just like, I want to win the championship of this part-timer and everything because you're out making movies all the time. Similar to how people spoke to The Rock and everything all the time. And he's kind of gone and done that himself. And probably by design, who knows?
Yep.
But Cody Cody obviously was in the Naked Gun film recently, and now he's in this. And I feel like he'll come back to a bit of a chorus of boos, and Drew, people will be on Drew's side more than his when he comes back. Because people will feel, whether it's work or not, I think some people in the crowd will feel slightly betrayed by Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. And see, this is where the line between where, you know, when does it become a work, or when does the world and life give you these options.
Yeah.
And so you take them and you turn them into the work, and you make it seem like it was the plan all along, which is one of the things that WWE is so good at.
Yeah.
Is, you know, the long-term storytelling that they can do because of the breadth of all this. Like, they are 100% planning for, they've got to be. We know they are. I mean,
yeah.
They've got their writers, their guys are thinking about all different scenarios.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? What happens if he comes back and the fans just boo him? Okay, well, what can we do if they just don't accept it? Well, we've been in this scenario before. We either push through it, make them hate it more, you know, give them the Roman Reigns, blue, you know, the ice blue eyes, flak jacket, shit that got him booed out of, that got the Rock booed out of Philly too.
Yeah.
You know, they can do that again. And for a time, Or they can roll with it and be like, well, if you're going to boo me, then I'm going to give you something to boo about. That's always the easy way to go. It's like, if you're going to boo me, I'm going to give you reasons to, then I'm going to give you reasons
yeah,
to boo
exactly,
me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, and that's, and sure, maybe it comes back around. Maybe the final boss, comes back into play. I would love that. I was thinking about the final boss this morning and how much I love it, love the character, and love how much the internet whining community hates it.
Yeah. I also don't know if you've seen, though, the Rock. He was at the premiere for his movie recently, and he has lost tons of weight. Like,
really?
His muscle mass is like, he looks different.
Wow.
So different.
I don't know if I want to see that, but
yeah, it's strange.
You know,
yeah,
I'm sure that's something
for a film. Yeah,
yeah, but I'm sure if that's something that he can, you know.
Yeah, he can.
If he got it, lost it, he could get it back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, it'd be intriguing to see once Roman and Rock I think Roman's not going to be gone for too long. But now Cody's been gone now for quite some time, so.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was just looking at the Clash in Paris card, and I'm like, yeah, Cody Rhodes didn't have a match. And I'm like, wait, when was the last match?
It would have been the SmackDown post SummerSlam that he was on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're talking, let's find the date. So that was on the 3rd. So it would have been like the 10th of August is the last time.
Okay. Yeah. So about almost a month. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So coming up this weekend, we have Worlds Collide Las Vegas, which there is a card for, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. Let's talk about this for a moment.
Yeah. Let's run this down real quick. So we do have a Lucha Showcase 8-man tag match, which is
going to be great.
Oh,
again.
Would you look at that? So La Parca, Masirata Sagrada. Hamburguesa and Octagon Junior versus the Latino World Order and Lince Dorado. I got him mixed up for someone else. Ha! That's funny. And Mini Abiso Negro, which sounds like to me another.
Little Black Abyss.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. Again, I thought it was going to be one of the miniature wrestlers, but it's not. So here we go. I couldn't make a call on that match. I don't know enough about any of them apart from Latino World.
I would have to say that is a match that is likely going to go to the AAA team.
Yeah, and probably a bit more of a... Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a comedy match. We got La Parca in it and Hamburguesa in it. It'd probably be quite a comedy match.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
It's going to be a lucha showcase.
Yeah. They got El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. versus Dragon Lee versus Ethan Page versus JD McDonough for the AAA Latin American Championship.
Yeah.
Ethan Page. Cool match.
And I think, is Ethan Page still NXT North American champion?
I think, or Canadian champion, as he's calling it.
Yeah. Yes. Man, this is a tough one. This one, I could see this. I could see Dragon Lee actually winning this.
Yeah.
As we know from AAA Triple Mania, El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. won the championship from the rival of his father.
Yeah.
You know, in a huge story, in a huge win. So his story's over. He finished his story.
Yeah.
And I think it would be a WWE thing to do. Dragon Lee needs all the help he can get. Unfortunately, and I think maybe having him be more of a presence in AAA for a while would be good. Would be better for him. He's just, man, I don't buy him on the main roster. He's lost. He doesn't. There's just nothing there for him. I don't know. I don't know why it doesn't work. I don't know why he doesn't work for me. Everybody else is, you know, every other luchador seems great. Something about, there was something about that whole, like, and as much as I love Rey Mysterio, you know, there was something about that whole Rey Mysterio kept pushing him as the future of Lucha Libre. And then it's just like, he's not really, it's not like he's young, you know, he's not a really young guy. He's 30 already. So it's like, he can't be the future. He's kind of the now.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's ever since then, it just died. I don't know what it was.
At the same time, I would love to see JD McDonough win the Latin American Championship and Dominic Mysterio win the AAA Mega Championship.
That would be great to see just
the Judgment Day walk away with AAA gold.
But then that leaves Finn Balor
with nothing. Championships. Well, apart from the WWE, but it would make him feel left out. And obviously, we've been planting those seeds for a while that he's been a bit against Dominic Mysterio, laughing behind his back a lot. So.
Finn and JD still have the Raw tag team titles.
So, and they're in separate matches on this card because Finn and Roxanne are facing Lola Vice and Mr. Agrana. It's kind of the same match that happened at the last AAA event, but swap out Raquel Rodriguez for Roxanne Perez.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Which should be fun.
It'll be interesting to see how Finn will respond to Dominic being a double champion.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, that's got to go somewhere eventually. I think they're just waiting for the right time to pull that trigger. But having all this success.
And you're right. You know what? That's tough. So do we vote for who we really want to? I don't know. I still think
it's hard to make an informed prediction on any of these matches because I don't know enough about. Well, I do, I guess, with this match, but it's hard. It's a promotion I don't know enough about. So,
we're going blind. I mean, I think Finn Balor and Roxanne Perez, I think the Judgment Day is going to win.
Yeah. Although, actually, no, I'm going to say they're going to lose.
No.
I would like to see JD Madonna and Dominic win, and I would like to see Finn Balor lose. Yeah.
Finn has to lose, Roxanne. And you know why? Because Finn's been... the issue with Roxanne and Raquel, they're finally. Oh wait, because they're the women's tag champions too, right?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, they've. I feel like they've got to lose, and I think it's probably going to be some shenanigan-ish stuff. I don't know. I don't know. I think you're right. I think their Judgment Day is going to lose that match.
Yeah.
So that JD can win. Dominic can win. Natalia. I think we're gonna see Natalia. I think Natalia's gonna beat Fabi Apache. To determine
maybe.
So that she
whatever
so that she
it
can be
takes
the
to get
contender.
This much better version of Talia on normal WWE programming, then I'm here for it.
yeah, I think they're gonna push Natalia Natty a little bit down there.
Yeah.
Here's another. I mean, I don't know, man. Or because then we got Pagano and Psycho Clan versus the New Day for the AAA World Tag Team Championship.
Yeah,
and. Oh, do I want the New Day to win the AAA World Tag Team Championships? Yeah, I would love for the New Day to also add that to their resume.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. But I think Pagano and Psycho Clown will win because they've only just kind of won those championships a month ago, and
yeah,
I think they deserve a longer run than that. So not that I know who they
unless,
are that well,
unless they want to make the switch so that they can do a hot, you know, hot back and forth just to give, I don't know.
Yeah.
I want them to, but I also don't want this to be a WWE dominating.
That's what
pay-per-view.
There's that too.
Well,
yeah.
See, that's the thing we've got. So what we're basically looking at is the potential of the AAA team is going to win the Lucha Showcase.
Yeah.
They're going to win the tag. They're going to win a mixed tag match. It doesn't matter. And then WWE is going to take all the titles and the number one contender spot for the AAA Rana de Reina's championship.
Yeah.
That's what we're voting for because that's honestly what I want. I want to see them and they've got the opportunity to all have it. I want that. Even if it's momentary. And the internet whining community will go crazy.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
So yes, anything that's going to piss off the internet whining community, I am all for. So that's our votes for that.
And we've already said, I think, Dominic Mysterio hopefully will win the AAA Mega Championship. I just think it'd be great. I think him with two championships, the more cocky Dominic Mysterio can get, the better, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, with that, I don't know that there's anything. Is there
We won't get into WrestlePalooza. Like, they're still adding matches to that. So we'll get to that.
Yeah, we don't even
card.
Know the card for that.
Yeah, we'll get to that card the closer it comes. But that's on the 12th the 20th of September, WrestlePalooza. So we'll wait for that.
So we've got to. Hopefully, we're going to be recording another. Actually, I was hoping we could squeeze in another recording this week.
I hope so. Yeah, I'll look at my. I mean, with the lack of potential gigs, it probably would be a lot more likely than I thought.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's about it for today. Next week or later this week, if we record another one, but whatever. Next episode, might be a top 12 greatest returns. Might be a Worlds Collide review. Might be a little bit of both. Who knows? Well, I guess we can't review Worlds Collide until after it happens. So
exactly.
If we record another one this week, it'll just be, I think a top 12. I think the top 12 would be a good quick episode too.
We haven't done a top 12 in a while either. So
no. And I think if we kind of like put a little bit together beforehand, it'll go by pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be a good one. So yeah, we'll look into that. But other than that, I guess it's time for shout-outs. Shout-out to Wikipedia. Support Wikipedia. That is where we get most of the information for the podcast. When we look stuff up, we look it up on Wikipedia, and we support them with money by donating. That's why we say support them, not just, you know, Don't just say it. Do it. Also, shout out to Al2K and Kaylee at 2KUK. WWE 2K25 available now everywhere that you can buy video games. Online and in person at WWE2K.com or anywhere. Download all the stuff. Get all the bonus content because it's cool. You know you want it. You can subscribe to us for free at Patreon. Patreon.com/PunkStalkWrestling. You can interact on social media and Instagram and threads at PunkStalkWrestling or at YouTube.com/PunkStalkWrestling. Email us at PunkStalkWrestling@gmail.com. That's it. That is
it. All right, if you say so.
I mean, I know we've missed another week. We're like, get it and forget already. Mm-hmm. How to do this, right?
No, I remember.
Oh, you're just stalling for.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe I just don't want it to end. Maybe I just don't want it to end.
Oh man, I know. You know, every time we have even the slightest bit of a break, and then we come back, yeah. It's like, oh man.
Guess what?
Really over already?
Guess what?
What?
Bye.